Sarah Thomas joins us on Sports Byline. She is a pioneer. On September 13, 2015, she became the first full-time female on-field official in NFL history. And her history-making game was between Kansas City and Houston. Her hat, whistle, and flag from that game are now on display at the Professional Football Hall of Fame in Canton. Take me back to the very beginning, Sarah, and tell me a little bit how you got interested and started doing football officiating.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Ron, I've just been around sports my entire life. And so playing basketball and being involved in organized sports in college, and then after that, I wasn't involved in anything. And I had an older brother, or have an older brother, that was going to a football officials meeting. And so I just asked the girls to do that. And he said, I guess so, sis. And I met him there. And 10 years into high school officiating, then I was recognized by an NFL scout that got me plugged in with Gerald Austin, Conference USA supervisor. He hires me. I get roped into the NFL developmental program, which was phenomenal. And then the NFL hired me in 2015.
You know, the thing I find interesting is that women have a challenge in a lot of businesses, but I would think in a male-dominated business like football, and particularly a pro football, you had some challenges along the way. Tell me a little bit about how you overcame them.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I think it's a mindset that I've just been raised on, Ryan. Just my dad just and my parents, they never ever said, oh, you're a girl, you can't do that. It was never – I was never involved in anything like that. And as far as the challenges for me, the first thing was the uniform. It was awful. The white pants were terrible. So getting the uniform to fit me was quite the task. But while it's a novelty to the guys, it wasn't to me because I was always around the guys. I played in the men's league basketball. I played with my brothers, you know, the two-hand touch or tackle football in the front yard. It wasn't necessarily a challenge for me, but it may have been more of a challenge for the guys. I just never, ever let anything like that, my gender or anything, keep me back. And they always have treated me as a professional, and I've always treated them as a professional.
First time you stepped on the field with a whistle around your neck, a hat on, and a striped jersey, what were the things that challenged you the most about being in that position?
Learning the game of football. I mean, as a fan, you think you know. I did not play the sport, of course, but just learning. I mean, I would go and watch a game, and I knew what a touchdown was. I knew what I wanted my team to do, but to understand the numbering requirements on the jersey and what those things meant, and the number of players on the field, and I had to learn it from scratch.
I'm just wondering, knowing how complicated the game is at any level, because you have to see something, you have to recognize something, you have to make a decision about something, and then you have to make the call about it. That is a rhythm type of thing, is it not, Sarah? How long did it take you to get comfortable with that rhythm?
Well, you know, you do. You get into a routine. I mean, and listen, it's not just the day, the game itself. I mean, we get into a routine from the time we leave our house till the time we get home. It's such a routine, but it's just complete focus. And it's getting into the rhythm. I mean, there's plenty of ups and downs during a game, but it's just not losing focus. Something happens the last play, you can't hold on to it. You got to keep moving forward. And it's just a focus that you have when you're out there working the game.
Sarah, you began high school football officiating in 1996, and then you moved on to Conference USA and now the National Football League. What were the differences at those three levels of officiating the game? Because my friends in the National Football League always tell me that when they went from college to the NFL, the thing that struck them was the speed of the game. But for an official, for somebody like you who said that you didn't know anything about football, what was it at those three levels?
Well, I can tell you, at the high school level, it was getting to understand the game, the spirit of the rules, the just rules knowledge, getting plugged into the system. Now, football is football. We still have 11-on-11. We're playing on a 100-yard field with two end zones, and we have four quarters. I mean, all of the basics are still there. But at each level, the college level, the athletes become, of course, better. And then at the National Football League, you have the best athletes in the world, and the speed, yes, it is definitely there. But as far as an official, maybe some of the things with me and a rookie coming in, is just getting the game to slow down, to make sure I'm in the right position to make the call. And, of course, every year is just rules knowledge. There's constant changes of the rules and new emphasis on certain things. And so that those are the things that you just, each year is just a learning process, but really the basics of football are still there.
One of the things I do know, you were part of the NFL's development program, and a lot of people don't know about that when it comes to officiating. Tell me a little bit about the NFL's development program.
Well, they started it 3 years ago, I believe, where they just initially had like 21 officials that came in. And we were able to go to the clinic to see what the NFL clinic was about. Then we were able to work your preseason games, go to training camp, mini camp. And just have the preseason game was great, just to be in that setting from start to finish. Like I said, the whole routine from leaving your house to arriving at the city where the game is going to be played and going through pregame and going to dinner and then waking up the next morning and just going through all of those rituals and routines and then getting to the game site and seeing what happens 3 hours before the kick and then actually being able to work a game in the developmental program, a preseason game, was so instrumental in just getting you prepared for, one, the speed and just being at the level of the National Football League.
How did you deal with the fear of making a mistake?
Well, I'll tell you, we all make mistakes. You're going to have failures in life. You're not perfect. We're not perfect. Even though we strive to be perfect in the officiating world, we just don't. And I don't look at them as the failures. I just look at them as learning opportunities and what can I do different not to make the mistake over and over again.
I know there's a lot of talking that goes on to the field and some even with the officials as well. When you got into the league, did players come up to you? What did they share with you? Did you have some laughs along the way in those early years?
Well, yeah, of course. You know, one of the biggest laughs was in college whenever I would start to talk and all the guys' heads would turn and they'd go, "That's a woman." That was quite comical. But with the guys in the NFL, it literally has been the players have come up and said, "It's just an honor to be with you on the field. Congratulations." Coaches have told me, "You have no idea. My daughters now think they know more about football than I do because of you." And so it's just been very congratulatory and very positive.
Sarah, when you take a look at these great athletes, what is it that you see in them, because you didn't know anything about football, that you really do appreciate?
I can tell you, you can just look at somebody and tell when they have the it factor, and the guys in the National Football League just all do. I mean, I played sports, and, you know, I'm not going to say that I had the it factor, but in this day and time, seeing my two boys grow up and play baseball and you're comparing them to other 15 and 13 year olds and you just want them to have the it factor. That's just how it is in the National Football League. They have the it factor. They're phenomenal.
You know, it's interesting. I have a quote here from you. You say, "Refereeing has been a part of my children's lives ever since they've been here. So this is just what mom does." How long did it take them to get used to what mom does?
I don't know necessarily. Like, it's like I get up and I go to work. They know I go to work. They've got to go to school. I go to officiate a game on the weekend. Okay, Mom, we love you. And, of course, they may call me or whatever. Then they know there's times that I cannot talk. And they don't get upset about it. They just understand. It's just been a part of their life.
I know along the way when I've talked to athletes in almost any sport, especially rookie athletes, they always talk about the person that kind of took them under their wing in the early days of being a pro baseball player, football player, basketball, whatever it might be. In your case, does that happen in pro football from an officiating standpoint? Are there officials who kind of mentor and bring you along when you're young in your career?
Yes, indeed. Yes. Well, you cannot make it without a mentor. I think you can't make it in life theory without someone having a positive influence on your life. Gerald Austin was huge in hiring me, of course, the supervisor, and then there were a couple of guys, Wayne Winkler and Tony Meyer, in Conference USA, that they're like my brothers. And then here at the NFL, I've had a great partnership with Jeff Bergman. He's been in the NFL for 26 years and probably one of the best, if not the best, line of scrimmage guy in the National Football League.
Is there a particular moment, Sarah, in your officiating career anyway, that when you think back on it, you smile a little bit and you'll never forget?
Yeah, April the 8th, 2015, when I got the call. That was wonderful. Being hired in the Conference USA, That was great. And I'm just going to tell you, every game, I look at no game any different. They're all great opportunities, and they're all big to me, as I know they are the players and coaches on the field.
Sarah, I know you're involved with Dannon and Activia. Tell me a little bit about it.
I am. Dannon has got a fantastic campaign with Activia Yogurt, and it's called It Starts Inside. And, Brian, it's just exactly about the journey like I've had and being able to reflect back on everything and knowing that if I had listened to my inner critic that would hold me back, thinking, well, maybe this isn't the norm. There's not any other women there. Am I really capable of doing this? If I had listened to that, then I just wouldn't have reached my full potential as a woman, as a person. And so It Starts Inside is exactly what Activia is trying to do, is that don't listen to that inner critic. Just unleash your best potential and focus on the positive and what you can do for yourself and believing in yourself. And it's just fantastic messaging for women who have second-guessed themselves, or that mom guilt that moms have, or even a young girl in those adolescent years of thinking, well, I can't do this because not everybody else is doing it. It's just, you know what, if you believe in yourself and you want to do it, go do it.
That is a great message to share with young women and women in general. I want to thank you, Sarah, for joining us here on Sports Byline, talking about your career. And I'm happy for you, because I think women bring something to everything, but particularly to sports, that maybe we haven't had before. You're welcome here anytime on Sports Byline. Take care, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Ron. Bye-bye.
Sarah Thomas with us again. And on September 13, 2015, she became the first full-time female on-field official in NFL history. We continue with more of you and Sports Byline.